WOMC HD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Enlightened philosophers tell us that we are divine beings in human form. Let's get real here. How can we live a busy life with a job, kids, and a mortgage and still be spiritual? Join CJ Liu as she tackles real life issues through a spiritual lens and talks with experts in relationships, work, and more. You'll get practical life skills and learn how to touch, feel, and experience a whole new way of living. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on fireitupwithcj.com and call CJ now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Welcome back to Fired Up with CJ on fireitupwithcj.com. This is CBS Sky Radio, and we're here every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I want to welcome our listeners to the show today. And happy December to everyone. It's already here, and it's already going quickly, so I want to say that so we don't forget. And just take time to relax, sit down, get a cup of tea, get a cup of coffee, and enjoy the show because we got a great guest today. And I'm going to let CJ introduce her and talk about her, but I just want to say hello, CJ. I hope you had a good holiday weekend.
I did. It was really nice. It was very nice Thanksgiving. Thank you for asking. It was good.
And you got some rest? Maybe.
I did get some rest. I did. I don't really say it's restful. It's just eventful. It's eventful, and it kind of, I think with Thanksgiving, you're able to rehash all the family dynamics over a course of time. And then if you do enough spiritual work, you can kind of see it in this kind of chronological fashion where you kind of see life in kind of a different way, and you see relationships, and you see how they evolve over time. And that's always interesting, I think. Or at least that's how I keep my mind busy.
It is. Throughout.
All right, so today we have Aviva Goldfarb, and she is the founder of the Scramble.com website. And it's really, I love the idea of her book, which is really, and her website, which is really helping really busy families get prepared and make it easy for them to prepare meals. So here's some interesting facts that I learned as a part of preparing for this show. So did you know that families eat together, like how long do you think it takes a family to eat together? So I asked my family, I said, on average across America, how long do you think it takes a family to eat together? And my family said, well, I think like a half an hour, you know, maybe an hour, 12 minutes.
Wow.
Can you believe that? 12 minutes. I don't even know how you can eat that fast.
Right.
You know, unless, at 12 minutes. And then in the past 20 years, the frequency of family dinners has declined by 33%, which makes me sad, makes me very sad. And, you know, one of the things, I don't know about you, I know that, do you cook, Cassandra?
I do. My husband and I, we both cook.
Yeah, and here's the thing that I think, I used to be someone who didn't cook at all. And I realized I interview people who cook, and one of the gals that I talked to said, you know, it's a way of expressing love. And I know it sounds so stupid, but I just view it as an inconvenience of something that I need to do just to, like, get energy so I can move around. Maybe not a good way of thinking about it.
Sometimes I feel happier when I'm cooking. You know, I'm up, I'm moving around, I'm doing stuff, and sometimes the kids join me, sometimes they don't. You know, I enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, for me, I never thought of it, but somehow realizing that it's about expressing love. And so it's a way, you know, it's like a food hug. You know, it's a way for me to connect with the kids in a different way. And I never thought of that that way. But once I thought of it that way, it really made a difference. We're all about family dinners, but I'm not all about cooking at home. And so that's actually really shifted for me this year. So today our guest, Aviva Goldfarb, is going to be talking about how she's bringing this mission back of having family meals. And we're going to start off by talking about some of the health benefits of eating at home. So welcome, Aviva.
Hi. Thank you so much. It's great to be here, CJ.
Yes, I'm glad to have you here. So tell us about the health benefits. Why should I eat at home? What are some of the health benefits of eating at home?
Well, you know, for our listeners who are parents, what's really astounding is what the studies show in terms of eating family dinners.
Mm-hmm.
And people who eat dinner sitting down, homemade meals with their families, in families that do that, the kids do better in school. They are healthier physically and emotionally, so they're less likely to be overweight. They're less likely to have all the health concerns that come with that, like early heart disease and diabetes. And they're less likely to have depression and anxiety, and they're more likely to report better relationships with their families. And for younger children who eat with their families more often, they are less likely to be picky eaters. So they're more likely to eat a variety of foods and fruits and vegetables. So really, I can't say enough about the health benefits of families eating together. And, of course, we know when we eat at home and we eat food where we have control over what we put in it and how much sugar, salt, and fat we put in it, we're going to be eating healthier than when we go out and they just want us to like the food and, you know, want it to taste good. And we have more control over the portion sizes.
Yeah, that's actually a huge thing. I think both of those things. I mean, I'm always shocked when I go out and I order a steak. And I think, what is this on top? And they said a pat of butter. I said, why are you putting a pat of butter?
Because there's not enough saturated fat in there already.
I know, but of course, of course it would taste better, but does it take appreciably better for the 40 calories of butter that are added on there? I don't think so. Yeah, it's kind of shocking when you think about, and I don't even want to think about the amount of sugar and fat that they put in restaurant food, because
people love chicken parmesan when they go out to eat, and it's kind of indulgent dish, and it's delicious. Well, at a large national chain, the chicken parmesan, just the one that I was able to find the data on, the chicken parmesan is about 1,100 calories, which is about half the calories that people should eat, or more than half, depending on how big you are, that people should eat in a day. Whereas my version, which is a crispy baked version with cheese, is still utterly delicious. Is 300 calories, including the roasted Brussels sprouts on the side.
Wow. Okay, but so if you were to compare yours versus the one at this unnamed chain, what do you think is the difference? Is it the cheese that's adding?
The big difference is that for that dish, for example, but it's typical of many dishes, is first they fry it in oil, and they don't spare on the oil because they want it to taste really rich and delicious to people. And then they load it with heavy cheese, and then they often serve it with a huge portion with a big side of spaghetti. So it's a combination of what's in it, what it's made with, and what it's served with, and how big it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when you cook at home, I love taking dishes like that and finding ways to make them just as delicious, if not more so. But so much healthier and so many fewer calories and something that won't weigh us down but that will really nourish us.
I was shocked because I started studying cheeses and the calories in cheeses, and there's a pretty big difference. I mean, goat cheese versus blue cheese, there's a significant calorie difference in those cheeses, and I think actually they both taste delicious. So when you were saying heavy cheese in this particular case, were you saying the quantity of cheese or
if you're going to use, let's say, a fresh mozzarella or a full-fat mozzarella versus a shredded part skim mozzarella, and in this dish in particular, I mixed my part skim mozzarella with grated Parmesan cheese, which is a low-calorie, low-fat cheese, and it still tastes utterly delicious. So you wouldn't notice that the calories are missing, but they are.
Yeah. Well,
right. Usually hard cheeses tend to be lower saturated fat, lower fat and lower calorie versus some of the creamy cheeses.
Yeah.
Tend to be things that are more indulgent.
Yeah, like brie cheese. I can't even imagine what brie cheese is. I'm sure it's the worst.
Brie is pretty bad. Or delicious. I love it. But it's just in moderation.
Yeah, yeah. So if you actually look at, again, so you took one where it's like 1,100 calories for chicken parmesan at a restaurant versus 300 calories. I think that stuff adds up. But, what else? What do you see as a difference? So if you look at a restaurant, they're going to have probably more calories. As you said, they're going to fry it in oil, and they're going to try to make it taste more, have that taste factor with
more
fat.
And more salt, and, you just develop a certain taste when you're eating out a lot. But frankly, we probably all realize that cooking our own food at home from scratch is healthier than eating in a restaurant. But a restaurant is still a fun, occasional indulgence, and it's not something that most of us probably can afford to do very often anyways.
Yeah.
So then the question is, how can we make our meals at home easier and healthier so we actually can get that dinner on the table in our busy lives. And that's the big challenge for a lot of us is, yeah, I know I should be cooking, but I don't have time. Mm. And so that's the problem that I really try to solve for people by making it super easy to get healthy dinners on the table with the 6 o'clock scramble. And I can give your listeners some, you know, some ideas of how they can do that themselves.
Okay, so I want to talk about the healthier piece because in the next segment we're going to talk about the timing piece. But the healthy piece, how, what do you see, like, you know, when you started, you know, studying this, because on your website you offer all these different recipes and you're taking traditional recipes, I assume, or kind of modifying recipes to make them healthier. What were some of the ahas for you going, ah, this actually had no idea, but this makes it so much healthier and it has no effect on taste whatsoever.
Oh, a huge one is, you know, when you're sauteing anything in a recipe, whether it's the vegetables, the onions, the meat in the beginning, you don't need much oil at all. You know, you can really use a teaspoon to a tablespoon of oil for almost anything, whereas sometimes it calls for 2 to 3 tablespoons. Mm-hmm. And oil is, you know, there are some health benefits to olive oil and other oils, but they're still very high in calorie. And calories and fat, and people don't realize that. And you think, oh, I'll just pour it in there. What's the difference? I don't know. You know, but it is probably better if you're trying to control your weight or you have other health concerns, it's probably better to measure it a little bit.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is, but isn't it something like 100 calories per tablespoon of
I think that's about right.
Yeah, which is a lot. Which
yeah.
We actually, you know, when you go to those cooking shows, I mean, I love the Barefoot Contessa, and I look at how much oil she pours and when she's stir-frying things. I'm like, seriously?
She's
you don't need
not
that
a
much
light
oil.
Cook. She's a wonderful
no.
cook, she, but not light food for her.
Yeah, yeah, so I get it. So only, so a lot less. And I actually just used a pan, you know, the, and is there a better one? Like when you actually look at, because I'm trying to think about minimizing calories with oil, so I use a pan or whatever those sprays to spray on top. Is there one that you like for that? Because I think that's actually the smallest amount of calories, but.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, one thing that people often don't realize, though, is not to use those nonstick cooking sprays on your nonstick pans because they actually.
I didn't realize that.
You're making me choke.
No.
Oh, no, I'm making you choke. I'm so sorry.
No, I feel bad. Okay, you're not supposed to use those.
No, because what happens is you'll start to notice after a while your nonstick pans are not nonstick anymore. They're sticky. And
yes.
That's because of the buildup of the nonstick cooking spray. And
so
a lot of people don't realize that. So it's probably best to use no or just a little bit of oil rather than nonstick cooking spray on your nonstick pans. And a lot of times you can use heavy-duty pans like a cast iron skillet or a stainless steel pan. And if you're doing that, then you can use, you know, some cooking spray. I always look for the more natural products with fewer ingredients. And so if you're lucky enough to have a Trader Joe's near you, they have a more natural spray. But, you know, all that stuff I use in moderation. Basically, I try to focus in my own cooking and in the recipes that I develop on as many real, natural, whole foods as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get a little nervous about some of the commercial products with a lot of ingredients and ingredients that I don't recognize. I don't necessarily want to be putting a lot of that in my body. I'd rather be eating fruits and vegetables and, you know, nuts and whole grains and, you know, things
right.
like that.
Right. And so if you don't have a Trader Joe's, look at the back of the, you know, look at the nutritional stuff, what's in the
yeah,
ingredients.
Yeah, and if it
so.
Looks like something you're not sure what it is, you don't want to put it in your body, then take a little bit of oil instead. Or, you know, nonstick skillets, you don't really need anything.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
okay,
if you're nonstick skillet, you know, nonstick skillets are not built to last. Like a cast iron skillet, you can pass down. You can take your grandmother's cast iron skillet. It's going to be better than ever. But a nonstick skillet, they're not built to last for years and years. So if it's starting to get scraped up or it's getting sticky, I mean, they have a much shorter life, a year or two.
I know.
So it might be time to replace that.
I luckily bought Calpheon ones, and so they have a lifetime warranty, so I just keep on sending them back.
Okay.
So aside from sauteing, what are some other kind of aha moments for you when you modified your recipes?
You know, a lot of people over-salt things, and especially if you're used to eating out in a restaurant a lot, you're used to a lot more salt, and we're usually Americans are eating a lot more salt than is recommended by the health associations and doctors. So you really don't need to add very much salt to a recipe, you know, maybe just half of, you know, whatever a recipe recommends or less than you usually use. And then if something doesn't have enough flavor, what we do is we keep a basket at the table of salt, which you can grind on, and then you're using a lot less if you're just doing a little salt on top, and pepper and hot sauces and different things and lemon pepper seasoning, different things to flavor up a meal without just salt.
Love it.
So
okay.
That's another thing that you have a lot of control over when you cook at home.
Okay. All right. So we have Aviva Goldfarb, who is the CEO and founder of thescramble.com. And you can, in fact, go to thescramble.com and learn all about her meal planning program that looks fantastic. I'm going to sign up this month. So yay. And hopefully we'll have the same results that I saw with some of your subscribers who are losing weight, feeling better, eating more at home. So in the next section, we're going to be talking about how we actually get more time efficient our meals, because I think that's one of the big gating factors on why a lot of people don't cook at home. So we actually have a fantastic food section. We've had unbelievable guests. So make sure to go to our food section at www.firedupwithcj.com. We'll be right back.